We start to study last week, we end up with talk about creation, important about understanding the creation. The reason we study about the creation, because if you don't know what it's all about, what is the creator, what is creation, what are we doing as part of that creation, it's very difficult to make it. You know, we need to see the vision, we need to see the goal, we need to see where we're going, why we're going, and as we understanding it, things get better. But before I'm going there, I shared with you last week that the word Kabbalah means lekabel, meaning to receive. It's the engine of your being. That's what it means, lekabel, to receive. And it's a drive. But we know that there is two type of thing that a person can receive. And basically physical thing, things that make you happy from a physical point of view. It can be food, clothing, money. And within the physical thing, there is another area that has to touch with the ego. It's more, you know, respect, people like me. That's a different type of receiving as well. Then there is receiving from a point of the result, like I want to be happy. I want to be free. So all those driving forces actually exist within us. We are desire things all the time. Because as I explained last week, as part of creation, the desire, it was the one thing that this universe created. Before that, it was non-desire, so it was nothing. What was there was a force of giving that just give. But to create a desire is awakening all type of desire based on the fulfillment that wanted to share it. So if that force called the creator, you can call it God, you can call it light. It's very much open how you like to call it. But that force want to give freedom, you're immediately awakening a desire for freedom. If that force want to give happiness, you're immediately awakening a desire for happiness. So all what you desire, all what you include the negative desire, what you call negative, with it's within that force to give it to you. The reason we call it sometimes negative because we get addicted to the desire, but we don't get addicted to the fulfillment that comes from the desire. Example, people say, I want money. Money is a tool to achieve happiness for some people, freedom, security. So once people look at the money as the goal of their life, the happiness has to step away because happiness is not something you can touch. It's an emotion. So it's a different engine that receives that type of desire. Money is tangible, is a physical thing. So you're drawing it from a different engine. You're allowed to do both together if you look as money to serve you, not as you serving money. You're allowed to have money. You're allowed to have tangible things, but you cannot expect the tangible, the physical thing, to give you a feeling that it's not tangible, that it's not physical, okay? It makes sure it's clear. So the engine of receiving is always working. Just the question is, what do you want to receive? For example, if I'm shy and I'm going in a party, so I desire to know people and say hello, but I'm afraid, I'm nervous. So my desire to go ahead and say hello to people is might be, will stop because I will be shy. So now because I'm shy and I'm not capable to say hello, I desire something else. I desire not to get hurt. I desire to be safe. So Kabbalah is called Kabbalah because it's a desire. It's based on your desire, who you are, what do you want to be. Now you remember, you give up things for other things. You have to run your engine based on who you are. What is that you want to be? Always when you wake up in the morning, write down, what do I want to be today? It's not only when you're young, what do I want to be when I grow up? You got to write down, what is that I want to be today? That will be the engine that drives you the entire day. What is it I want to be this week? That will be the engine that drives you the whole week. What is it I want to be this year? That will be the engine. So because you got to look for, that's the engine that's driving you. And it's beautiful. Then you developing yourself to become better and better and better. So what we explain that when we talk about creation, we start talking about the endless. We went deep last time. The endless, the light. And we said that the endless create a force that will receive all the beauty that the creator or the endless want to give. Now, we need to add something more tonight to explain more about creation, about the difference between the light and the vessel, or the light and the container. It's called kli. Kli, the way we imagine kli, kli means vessel, we imagine kli as a cup that's receiving from inside. But we know that a cup that received from inside, like a cup, has a limitation. Rabbi Isaac Luria, Rabbi Ashlag, the Zohar, the Book of Formation, they give it a different name. They give it endless receiver. You cannot imagine a receiver to be endless when you think of a cup. So for that reason, a discovery took a place in 1922 by Rav Ashlag, and 500 years ago by the Ari. He actually didn't write it, but Rabbi Chaim Vitali's student wrote it. And he said there is a unique vessel in the endless. And the vessel looked almost like a little ball that is not received from inside, it's only received from outside. Can you imagine something like that? Hanging in the air, and it's only receiving from outside. So how much can it receive? Endlessly. Yes? Now, we mentioned a little bit last time, the Tzimtzum. What translate, if we translate the word Tzimtzum, is contraction. Contract, something contract. That's what Tzimtzum, you can call it restriction if it makes you feel more comfortable. But it's a contraction. What was the purpose of that? Basically, trying to understand for a second that you have a DNA of something. If you have a DNA of something, you cannot behave differently from what you are. That's who you are. Your DNA is your DNA, spiritual DNA too, not just the physical. So what was the receiver made from? Light. The receiver was made of light. The receiver cannot act differently than being a light. But the light commands the receiver to be a receiver. I can't be a receiver even if you ask me to be a receiver. I can't. I am the light. So at that point, the Kabbalists explained to us, took a place something unique, something tough to understand, something that many people confuse about what exactly took a place there. And it's important we understand it in the next 7 minutes. It's called Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum. It seemed to many people who study Kabbalah that the receiver in charge of what happened after. Right? If you study Kabbalah before, you understand that the Tzimtzum happened because the vessel or the container said, I don't want to receive. And from that point on, everything took a place. Where is the light at that picture of yours right now? The light's, I don't know, left. Light? Light never leaves. We need to understand the purpose of the Tzimtzum. If we don't understand the purpose of the Tzimtzum, we might think there is something mistaken going on here. The purpose of the Tzimtzum is to create something new, something that was not exist in the endless. Wow. How can something new was not exist there? It's almost like impossible. Well, it was one thing that is up to us to create it every day. And we call it, the Kabbalists call it, especially Rav Ashlag. He invented that concept, he make it clear in our, you know, language that we can understand it. And it's called desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Meaning what? Listen carefully. It's not words to words. You cannot just say the words and not understand it. Desire to receive for the sake of sharing means I want it all light. I want it everything. So I will be able to basically give you the chance to give me. Listen carefully, I will repeat it again. Light, I want everything you want to give me, so I will give you, light, the chance to give me. Meaning I become a receiver for you. I don't need anything, but I become a receiver for you, so you will have a pleasure to give. That's what exactly been created in the Tzimtzum. And again, I'm not here to give all the Talmud, Esar Sefirot, all the knowledge of it. But I'm here to give a lecture of Kabbalah, so you have the foundation and the basic. So not to judge the Tzimtzum as something that happened because something went not as good as it's supposed to be, like a virus. No. It's more a concept of creating something which is new creation. And the new creation here is to create a desire to have everything because I want to give pleasure to the giver. And I continue. So when we talk about what we call lechem bizayon, lechem in bread, bizayon mean shame. So translation can be bread of shame. Or as the Gemara, the Talmud call it, lechem chesed, a merciful bread. The translation in the Talmud is merciful bread. Why they call it merciful bread? Because they look at it like the light have a mercy on you, so now I'm going to give you something. Now, if I'm going to give you something as mercy on you, you automatically feel ashamed because you want to give something back to me. The bread of shame, or the concept of bread of mercy, or lechem bizayon, that's the name, you got to learn to say it in Hebrew, lechem bizayon, was invented as a gift. We think of it as a punishment, so this is when we study Kabbalah, and it sounds like a punishment, but it's a gift. What was the gift? We want one gift, one, only one. We want to become who we are. If you ask people, normal people, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be me. Normal people want to be me. What was the vessel? What was the container? Light. The container was not container. It was created to become a container, so it will be a circle of energy, yin and yang, giving and receiving. That was the original form of how it was established. But if you look at it, the container is a light too. Where does it come from? It's a light. The only difference between the container to the light that one acts as a giver and one acts as a receiver. That's it. He and his name are one. That was the code. So the idea is that those two forces never disappear. So you cannot look at it as a history story that something happened then, thousands of years ago. It's actually happening every day. Wow, where is it? It's actually living inside of us. It's an explosion that takes place every second. And we got to experience that. It's important that we will start to experience that thing that called the endless, that thing that called container, that thing that called tzimtzum, that thing that called bread of shame, that thing that called the old system of basically evolutions of coming all the way here. Because we're living in a physical world. Within the physical world as we're living now, just to remind you, we are living in a very materialistic universe. Materialistic not just from the money. Money is the least of our problem. Remember, money will never be the main problem of our universe. There is something worse. Ego is worse than money. Worse than money. So the world is very physical. So when a person tries to overcome his need for the container, very difficult. That's why Rabbi Isaac Luria, right, and if you are on my web, you're going to hear the lecture I did today, fresh lecture, write like this to his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. Rabbi Chaim Vital come to his teacher and say, teacher, come on. You know, and I know how low I am. Why you give me the knowledge? Why me? You know what I do behind closed door. You know I'm not so clean. You know I'm not so amazing. I have issues. I have anger. I have ego. I'm judging. Why me? He gave him a list. It's in the book. 20 rabbis at this time said, that was great. So his teacher looked at him and said, you were chosen for that job. You were chosen for that job. Now, why am I telling you this right now? Because in that section, Rabbi Isaac Luria tell him, whoever live in this generation, for one good things you do and for one bad things you overcome, you are actually doing more than the righteous people did 2,000 years ago. Because it's almost impossible for a human being to be kind in our time. Almost impossible. And if you're able to be kind in our time, you already achieve something incredible. If you're able to forgive, you achieve something incredible. And that's why it brings us to a question of, let's summarize it for a second. Tzimtzum, contraction, restriction, if you want to call it. It came from maybe the receiver, the vessel, the container, but it came because the container can no longer be a receiver. You want to be also like, I'm the light. Don't tell me to be a zebra. I am the light too. I want to give. I want a gift too. So the condition was you can't give because it was no player. It was light and giving and receiving. So the receiver said, there is two conditions that make the light light. What are the two conditions? Two conditions. One, the light is giving everything. And second condition, light is receiving nothing. So, yes, everybody understood? Light is giving everything, light is receiving nothing. The container said, okay, I cannot give anything, but I can stop receiving. So I can become 50% light. Yes? So stop of receiving create a tzimtzum. But the tzimtzum is not the goal. The contraction is not the goal. The contraction is to get to a place that I will receive everything because I want to give pleasure to the light to give me. Remember that. Now, before I explain to you where is that take a place every place, I just want to add something more about the bread of shame. Nahima dechsifa, lechem bizayon, merciful bread, whatever you want to call it, you know. So let's just explain it, what exactly mean the concept of the bread of shame or the concept of Nahima dechsifa. And the idea is like that. The whole concept of making myself earn again, making myself earning what I'm actually having. How do I get there? Well, every time you overcome something, you overcome temptation, you overcome fight, you overcome ego trip, something or something that you know that you can get your engine of receiving right away can draw the respect because as we explained in the beginning, Kabbalah means to receive. So your engine of receiving can be different things. So you can receive now respect from people and wow, everybody will respect you. And or you will be able to wait on that. And by you saying no to that engine of receiving, you create a new engine within you. Okay? So the bread of shame means it's a gift. Bread of shame is not a curse. Okay? Na'ima dechsifa, lechem bizayon is a gift. How can that become a gift? Where is the gift there? The beautiful thing about that, and the gift about it, that through the bread of shame, through the na'ima dechsifa, through the lechem bizayon, you get a second chance to become the creator. Because every time you earning it, every time you becoming like God, you becoming like the creator. So for example, you want to earn being in good shape physically. Well, you have to train, you have to do this, you have to eat well. It's a lot of rules, a lot of rules. It's terrible, right? I mean, those of you who like to eat like me, it's a lot. But discipline, what help you is eventually you earning it. How would you feel after you look good? You feel good. You have other ways to get there. There is other way, right? You can travel to Colombia, stay there 6 months, fix your body and come back. They take a few bones out, a few things and fix you and come back. Every 2 years, you gotta go back there. No problem. So, but you would know you need to, now some people, it's enough for them. Depends what type of engine you have. If your engine want to build self-confidence, self-confidence is a strong engine, my friend. Very strong engine, because that engine, nobody can take it away from you. When you have self-confidence, you are the most powerful person. When you just look good, or you're smart, or you make money, that's not fulfillment. That's a success. I don't know if you understand different. There is a success. Success means that you achieve your goal. Fulfillment is when you're happy with your goal. Most people achieve success, but not most people are fulfilled. To be fulfilled, you're happy with your goal. I know some people who make a lot of money today, but they're miserable. How come? Because it's not earning. It's not, they didn't overcome something. the secret is to overcome something, and through that overcoming, you become powerful. So every time you have a situation in your life that is difficult, it's a forgiving people, right? I have a lot of people who stabbed me in my back, a lot of people who did some things to me, right? Not comfortable. Being a Scorpio, it's very difficult sometimes to let go, but it's healthy for me. I need to meet those people. I need to be stabbed in the back because how would I earn the next step? I need exactly those things. It's a necessity for my life to grow. It's a necessity to climb to the next level. I need that wind under my wings so I can fly better. But without that, I can't fly. So every human being will receive opportunity that he can earn the next moment. Question, what do you do with those opportunities? You're going back to your old desire and you say, maybe I will want less. Maybe I want less. Maybe I want less. Maybe, and you go back. Or you say, I want more. I want more. But want more doesn't mean more money or more fame. Want more from yourself. Want more to discover who you are. Because who you are is more important than your achievement. Who you are is the original you, which is the light. You are the light. You are the creator. You are part of the creator. But it depends what you're choosing to reveal. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Where do you think, and write it down to yourself, where do you think you behave like the light? Just write down area in your life where you think you behave like the light. And if you need a paper there, you have a paper. Hi. Yeah, you got something there? Okay, good, good. Okay, where in your life you behave like the light? Please write it down. Yeah. When I say where do I behave like the light, I wrote to myself to remind you, giving. Okay, so just. Okay, good. Now, second question, obviously, where in my life I behave like a vessel, a receiver? Where in my life I behave like a vessel as a receiver? Now, as you can see, there is two forces going on in you. There is a force of giving, sharing, helping, or the light. And there is a force of receiving, which is the vessel. Now, is the force that called receiving, is it something that you're familiar with every day? Is it there every day? What, who would like to share? What did you write as a receiving?
I wrote my friends being supportive of me.
Okay, support of your friend, approval of your friend. Okay, that's very good. That's very good. Okay. Okay.
Coming here, receiving this.
Receiving knowledge, information. Okay, very good. Very good. What else? Somebody else want to share? Receiving from every area of your life. Okay.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's all the whole list.
I want the traffic to move out of the way.
Mary, please, here, here, there is here, please. Okay, you want to share? Okay. What did you write as sharing? What would be that you act like the light? Which area in your life you're acting like the light? What did you write there?
The easiest one is children.
Children?
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
Because it's not even a second thought. It's almost natural.
You're saying with your children?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So with your children, it's I just want to make sure.
Yeah, not all.
So I thought you have an organization or something. Okay. So with your children, it's automatically, you don't even think, you don't need to think to give. So it's just not. So they don't need to knock on the door.
Right. They don't.
You initiate the giving. So that's the area where it's more like the light. Okay. Okay. Anybody here? This group is the quiet group.
For
this
side.
Charity. What do you mean by charity? Tell me more about it.
Helping someone in need without them knowing them, knowing that you're even helping them in the background.
Very nice. Very nice. Like to help somebody they don't even know you're actually helping them. So that's kind of a giving, acting like the light. That's a very good example, actually. Not knowing, because we don't know always that the light is helping us and it's actually doing that. That's very nice. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. So this is a two force living in you. But I said that every day we experience Tzimtzum, every day we experience Bread of Shame, every day we experience everything. Where might it be in your story that you wrote down on a piece of paper now, the contraction take a place? Where is the receiving inside of you, if it happened, I don't know if maybe it doesn't happen, saying no to the giver. Do you feel that the Tzimtzum take a place in you every day? Example, yeah. You wrote, you're acting like the light, but you're giving your kids, and you're acting as a receiver or as a container or as a vessel. When you are in all area of life, you go in there because you have engine to receive money, engine to receive food, engine to receive pride. It's always working. The engine is always on of receiving. The question is, if everything that took a place in the endless, taking place in my life now, because we said it never disappeared, it's still happening, where is the Tzimtzum in your life now? Where is the contraction in your life taking a place? But that's knowing to sharing or knowing to receiving?
No, we say no.
We say no to them.
Uh-huh.
So, but that's their Tzimtzum. Where is my Tzimtzum? My Tzimtzum, my contraction has to be saying no to me.
But I don't get angry and scream.
So when you have a desire to get, so you're waking up with the desire to get angry.
No.
No, you don't.
No, I want to get to my destination.
Okay.
On time and
okay.
Easy.
Okay.
And then people go slow or drive
okay. 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 So basically, no, it's very important, guys. Look at how we're getting there. When we have desire to receive something, we desire to receive to get to our destination in 1 hour and cut the deal and everything's supposed to work smooth. Get my $1 million check. Get out of there. And then on the path, on the way there, there is disturbance or something go wrong. So, me supposed to be angry, and I was capable of stopping myself from getting angry, say, Yvette, this is my Tzimtzum, my contraction. Interesting.
Because I want to beat my horn, and I want to cut them off.
Yes. And you're capable
of not being aggressive.
Uh-huh. What if we go a deeper level? What if we go, why do you even want to get to your destination? Can you say no to this destination? We don't even think about it, right? We think it about from a manners point of view, and from a manners point of view, I should be nice. I should share my cake. We're doing what kids been told when they're 5 years old. Don't speak loud. We don't even know why. We don't even know what we're doing, what we're doing. But why am I even going to get a job? Why even going to make money? Why am I even going on a date? Because that's my force of receiving, my engine start. We say that the Tzimtzum created because of what? Who remember? The contraction was a positive thing, right? I say it tonight. Why? To create what? To create what? What was it there to create.
Receive,
yes, but what? What are you saying?
To be like the light.
Which is, how? How is it going to be like the light? Remember, I said about 15 minutes ago. It's important class tonight because you got to understand it. If you understand it, everything starts working in your life. You got to understand. It's a basic. It's a foundation of Kabbalah. To receive for the sake of sharing. The Tzimtzum was created to receive for the sake of sharing. So now you're going to work. Look what happened. Oh, that person bothered me. Hey, I don't even want to go to work. First, got to be the Tzimtzum. That's a Tzimtzum. People fall down into the Tzimtzum. I was overcoming my anger. Oh, bravo. Now you're going to get ego. What sharing? There's nothing there. Nothing there. Nothing. Zero. It's just overcoming some manners behavior. I share my pizza. Oh my God, good job. Lee, how are you doing, God? You're good. Why are they even going for the pizza? That's the Tzimtzum. That's a tough one. Now that's Kabbalah, that's spirituality. That's the work that nobody needs to see. It's a deep work. And we're not gonna be successful all the time. Who cares, that's the fun of it. We're gonna at least try. The trying itself is the fun. So I will be able to do the Tzimtzum by me saying no to my receiving, by me saying no to my receiving to begin with, then I say, but I think the light want to give me that job. Okay, let me go there. So if the person in the front of you goes slow, I guess the light doesn't want me to get this job. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a stages, guys. And I'm not expecting you right away. So what is the bread of shame? Going back to the bread of shame. The bread of shame is that person who's difficult, give you a difficult time on the way to get there. He's the person who's giving you extra candy to say, I will let you earn it even more. So you can get double the amount of becoming like the creator. Double the amount of becoming like the light. This is profound things that happen all day long. So the ability to say no to my receiving from the beginning, and then say, I want it all, that's the game I have to play. And it's in the mind, it's not in the hand, it's in the mind. It's like, I'm letting go of everything. And then, when you feel you're ready, you gotta feel you're ready. And then you say, I want it all, because I feel, or I know, that the light wanna give it to me, and I want to make myself as a vehicle of receiving. For the sake of that creation, want to be a vehicle of giving. So I volunteered myself to become the receiver. But it's not because I want it, because I want to manifest what the universe wants to share. It's a very important thing. And if it's clear, that's called Kabbalah. That's called the concept of Kabbalah. And that's how people who don't understand that step fall into words like bread of shame, restriction, tzimtzum. It's all words, but the actual thing you have to do tzimtzum all day long. I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing. The quality of a child, as the Ari write, is within the sexual act. The both parents cannot think about what can I benefit from the sexual act. If that's what they're thinking, how I enjoy, how I enjoy, they take away from the child. And the child left with nothing, just the body. Clear? So when the parents say, I don't want nothing for me, I just want to give, or to become a vehicle of reflecting the receiving, then it's create circuit of energy non-stop and a big soul coming down to that body. It's so powerful. It's in everything. Your food, ice cream. The creator delivered the ice cream himself. All right? So let's say I am suffering from food addiction. So for me, every time I see ice cream, I think God delivered it himself. It's not like you. For you, you know it from the store. So I see the ice cream and say God on it. You cannot convince me. I will tell you, I saw God deliver it. So for me, I have to really don't want it. And then I say, okay, you know what? I have to do a blessing. Let me have a little bite. But the second bite, what happened to the second bite? Do I still believe that God want to give it to me and I have to be the receiver? Or I'm eating the second bite because I have the first bite already and it tastes good. What happened in the second bite? Second bite is already a manifestation of what? Of me tasting the ice cream, and now I discover a new engine of receiving within me. That new engine of receiving within me is no longer a spiritual engine, it's a physical engine. I test whatever I'm addicted to. Before I test whatever I'm addicted to, no big deal, because I don't know what it is. If somebody say, I'm capable to say no to cigarettes, but they never smoke, nothing going on there. Nothing going on. The capability of doing tzimtzum is a very high level of consciousness. Very high level. Because you become a light. The reward for it, you become the light. You become actually like God. And the moment that you are sitting there and you're capable of saying no, not just to get angry, which is important, it's at one level, but I get angry because I want something to happen my way. Why I even want that to happen my way? So then I restrict myself from not getting angry with the people who bother me, and I'm actually having ego for it. So not only I didn't accomplish anything, I actually get more ego while I'm doing it. I'm happy you're laughing. That's when you understand what I'm saying. It's very important because it's sad for me to see myself, you, all of us falling. And the Kabbalah has been thousands of years explained this concept in a very simple way. Very simple way. Now, you said children. Not pick up on you. You just happen to share more than others. I love to share with my children too. It's automatically as well, I agree. But the question, am I really behaving like the light? When I'm giving it to people. Meaning, what is the light doing? The light giving a vessel to become a chance to become the light. So when I'm giving to somebody, enabling someone, what is enabling, right? You can call it bread of shame. You can call it any name you want. But when you are enabling somebody, you're giving them everything. You take away from them something. You're taking them a fair chance to ever become like you. You stole their soul. You finished them. You're never going to make them like you. You make them always depend on you. So if I'm cooking dinner for you, since you were a kid, and I'm making dinner, right? It's like the fish and teach how to fish, like the Chinese thing. So, but if I'm going there, say, listen, son, no longer I'm making you pasta and meatball. From now on, you will work with me to make it, and next week you do it yourself. It sounds like a punishment, right? What did I say? Bread of shame sounds like a punishment, but it's a gift. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you the best gift of your life. I'm giving you a chance not to be depend on me so you become the light. Because the original desire of every human being is the original desire of every vessel that was there. Because we come from the vessel. We come from the container. What is our original desire? I want to become like the light, please. I want to become like you. Every human being only wants to share. People tell, I want to receive money. I want to make... No, it's not the real desire. Real desire is to share. Remember. A real desire of every creation, everything in this world, is to give. We get polluted, we get, you know, dirty with the time. But deep inside, only want to give. Only. The thief who steals money, where is he taking it? He want to give it to somewhere else, right? Children who need food or something. There's always something going on. You see sometimes the birds, we have a nest here. So one bird stealing from another bird, they were fighting over a little worm. Big deal, right? So they stole it. You cannot interfere with nature, you know? And then you get so angry, say, and I'm screaming in Hebrew, hey, don't take the worm that belongs to this. And then I see there is a nest and the baby. So she take it like, and she feed it from mouth to mouth. So wow. 5 minutes ago, I judged this bird to be very cruel and evil. Now I'm looking at the birds, it's very good birds. Everybody want to share. Sometimes we do the wrong things when we want to share. We rob bank, we rob people, we use people, we take from here because we want to give here. But when we give to our children, we are enabling people we love, we take away from them something too. And that's what called original, the concept of bread of shame, lechem chesed, merciful bread, because we want to do mercy with them. You want to do mercy for them, give them a chance to do mercy with you, to you. Give them a chance to give. That's what the light did, the tzimtzum, for the vessel. He gave a chance for the vessel, because the vessel said, I cannot longer take it. I want to become like you, light. What can I do? Tzimtzum, you can do. You can say no. So if your desire is want to become like the light, how many times a day you say no to everything? No, I don't want nothing. Nothing. You know, one of the ceremony Kabbalists do, it's called mikveh. What is a mikveh? You're going under the water. Under the water, you go naked under the water, and you stop breathing for as long as you can. And then you come out, you do something 7 times, sometimes you do 13 times, sometimes you do 101, sometimes you do 233, depends on the meditation. But when you go there, you stay under the water. What do you actually do? You basically almost say to yourself, I don't want to stay alive, God forbid. I'm still breathing. The breath of life, this is everything. So when you're under the water, you give up everything, and now you're opening the true channel of who you really are. Who you really are is the non-receiver and only giver. And now you're awakening the true you, because the true essence of who you are light. You're never going to change that part. You may be going to cover it very well, but you are light. Every person is a giver. Yesterday I was watching a show on HBO. I recommend to everybody watching it. It's an organization that helps kids till age 23 that go to prison, some of them for life. And they have no chance. So the judge, seeing how old they are, say, listen, I would like to give you a second chance. You would go to, I think, 18 weeks, like an army base. It's going to be a boot camp. If you go through that and you overcome that, we will replace you in job. We will help you through life to go back to your family. I love it. It's happening in Miami. They took most of it, happened in Miami. Somebody paid for it. It's an amazing program. And we would think, right, it was 38 kids. 38 should make it. Especially if you sent for life, this is it. You're going to prison for life, God forbid. For life, this is it. All this, and then you can go free after not too long. All what you gotta do is to do tzimtzum for your personality, for your anger, and you get out. Not everybody made it. My wife found me cry yesterday. So I said, I can't take it. I can't take this guy say no. Why would he say no? And he said to them, I can't take the humiliation. So the guy who's, I think, from Cuba, I took him to a place, speak Spanish to him, and said, please, I'm begging you. I may be outside, I play like a big shot, and I crush your ego. But here in the room, I'm telling you, prison is not the easy thing. You know, don't lose it. And we lost him. I said, we lost him. Well, we lost the guy. And he went there. He went to prison. And two other guys, this bothered me so much. It was so good. And we lost them too. Why? Why? Couldn't say no to that ego, to that desire. So what is that desire? Okay. Once you develop a strong engine of receiving, which is self-confidence, you no longer want little thing. No longer you want little thing. Meaning, I had a conversation with South America today about, they asked me to make a teacher student lecture. I recorded it, it's not on yet, but I recorded. So teacher and student. And one of the law about teacher and student, that the teacher not allowed to say to the student what's wrong if it bothered the teacher. You're allowed to tell the student what's wrong with them if it bothered their soul. But you God forbid, it's forbidden for a teacher to say to a student what's wrong with them if it bothered the teacher. And I share an example that happened to me. I said one time somebody gave me a gift podium like that, and I was praying. I was very happy with that podium. But as I'm going to the bathroom and I come back, student came, put his books, put his drink, put everything to the podium. I was very happy. It bothered me. I was so angry. So I said, I want to say something, but it bothered me. I cannot lie. It does bother me. So I had to wait. I had to wait for so long. It was a little bit too long. It bothered me for long. Then I go, I said, listen, it really bothered me that you did that. I said, my God, I didn't even know it bothered you. You should tell me the first time. I said, yes, but I said to him, but it bothered me that it even bothered me, but it did bother me. And I want to tell you, so he started laughing that I make a big deal out of it, but it is a big deal. Why? Because restriction, contraction, tzimtzum, the tzimtzum is all the time, but it's not, you should not look at it as a punishment. You should look at it as, how do I make myself like? If you feel that when you say no to yourself, you suffer, you're not doing it right. If while you're saying no to ice cream, to chocolate, to anger, to the desire to go get what I want, it make me upset, I'm not yet there. Because the goal of the tzimtzum is to create something new, which is desire to receive for the sake of sharing. I want to receive it all for the sake of giving the Creator a vessel where he can give it to. I want to become your vessel light. I want to become the container that you can give it all. So I actually want more than the ice cream. I want more to that sexual fun. I want more than that attention and approval. I want more than that. How do I get more? By saying no to the less. What is the less? The immediate thing that I cannot say no to. Now, if it's anger, okay, that's good too. That's a start. But I have to go for more. Every person is built from the original engine of receiving and a fake engine of receiving. We're going to study deep about it eventually. But I want to make sure just that it's clear. Now, where in my life I'm enabling people, where in my life I manipulate people. Manipulate mean I'm giving people just for them to like me. When you please people, that's the most pure manipulation. Smiling can be manipulation. A gift can be manipulation. Because I'm actually giving you so I can take part of your soul with me when I leave. So that's manipulation. It's totally a manipulation. So people think I'm such a giving person. Okay, maybe you are. I don't know. A true giving is the original force, want to give you everything. And a true giving is, here I am, light. Make me a receiver for the sake of revealing everything here. We are here to reveal. We are here to create a new thing that wasn't there before. So everything in your life when you're not happy, everything in your life that you said, everything in your life, relationship not working right, business don't work right, you know that something is going on there. Now you can run away from it or you can evolve yourself. You can grow. Most people will run away. Or most people will go through pain. That's a gift. The pain, the suffering is a gift. What do I do with this? What do I do with the pain? Do I look at it, wow, there is pain. There is opportunity to earn. There is opportunity to grow. Or I look at the pain as, how do I run away from it as fast as I can? And that's why people live randomly. Randomly they're happy. Randomly they make money. Randomly they said, random, everything is random. It's not even, there is no nothing going on. Oh, I had a good day today. I had a bad day. I had a good day. What is a good day? What's the difference? What is a good day and a bad day? Bad day, then nothing worked the way you want it. Simple. Nothing worked the way you want it. You're going on a date, terrible. You're going to lunch, wrong food, wrong waiters, wrong job, too flat tire. Everything go wrong, according to you. But your engine of receiving is not working well. So they're about to install a new engine of receiving, a new Kabbalah. So for that reason, we're going to remove the old receiver. What do we do with that? We bring back and we fix it to flat tire. We're forcing the date to love us. We're screaming at the waiter to serve better because we want to fix that. But we don't want to fix the engine. And we got the result of it, insecurity, impatient. You start suffering from more and more insecurity because you don't fixing you, you're fixing it. When you fix it, insecurity becomes the result. Insecurity is not being humble. Insecurity is a result of not playing that beautiful game. It's a game. It's a game where I can grow. So yes, opportunity will happen. I'm going on a date. I'm meeting the worst person. What about that worst person after you leave? What's going to happen with them? Who cares? I told women, I said, who cares? Women, who cares? What about him? Where is he going? He's going back to his mama's house. He's never going to change. He's never going to change. What about him? Well, Eliyahu never thought about it. Well, you should. Why did you meet him? Oh, I think the creator did a mistake for 5 minutes, so that's what happened. Really? You think so? You met wrong person for the right reason too. Now, what do we do with that person? Where is my opportunity to share? You know that's your ultimate sharing because you want nothing to do with that person. Nothing. I don't want to be with that person. And I'm still going to give and I'm going to get out of there. You want to talk about donation? That's donation. Well, donation is just writing a check. You know what? Or words of wisdom. I told you, I don't know if you remember, my first job that I went to work, I was fired after 4 days. I was working in a factory. I don't have a brother, so I didn't know what mentality of work is. I thought, you go, you take a break, because my father spoiled me to go work for him. It was very easy. You drink coffee, you know, nothing, you do nothing. So after 4 days, the owner called me to his office. He wrote me a check for the 4 days I worked there. And he told me, listen, you're fired, but I want to talk to you. You're young. I was very young. He said to me, listen, you might be upset that I'm firing you, but I want to give you a gift. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. I said, listen, you're going around. I'm looking at you. People are looking at you. It's bad for the. He explained to me the whole mentality of work. I said to me, you need to understand how it works out there. You might be new and fresh and green. You don't know nothing about life. And I didn't. He said, you need this. That was a given. He create automatically within me all force of creation. He created the light in me. He created the vessel. He created the tzimtzum. He let me overcome bread of shame in the next job I have. He helped me by giving me. When we giving people, mostly either we manipulate them or we are enabling them so we can feel good. So bread of shame to the people you love is only when you don't care about the person, you care about you. Many times good mother and good father care about their kids, not because they care about the kids. They care about the kids because they care about themselves. They want to call before they die that the kids say, oh, what a great mother or great father I had. What about the kids? Ah, terrible kids. Who cares? But I'm a good mother and good father. We need, when we give, to give the gift of life, not to give of me, because then they create dependency on me. Where in your life you're just receiving and doing what you have been told like the vessel was meant to do in the endless. If there is area in your life, my friend, that you say, I'm here only to receive, I'm here only to listen. You ever saw the movie The Gardener? Gardener, I think it's called The Gardener, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's not called The Gardener. Being There, maybe Being There it's called. Being There, no? And the guy who was not so smart and he hit by a car of a billionaire. And is it called Being There? You don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God. All right, whatever. It's a good movie. It's a good movie talking about a person who basically doesn't speak much, but when they ask him something, he says, yes, I watch TV. And eventually he becomes the president or something like that. Forgot what the name of the movie. It's an old movie. It's like 30 years old. You know what I'm talking about? Which movie? No? Anybody saw it? No? No? Doesn't? Anyway, so I think it's called Being There, I think. So the idea is to get into a place, my dear friend, that you will be eventually like the endless. What happened in the endless? You'll receive everything. But when you see money, ring, this and that, it's not just the ring, the money, the dress, the shoes, the watch, the hug, the sex, the recognition, the approval, all of it is part of what the light want to give you. So you are just a receiver to say, I'm receiving all of it because the light want to give me. Or you start playing the religious game, the spiritual game, and you play manipulation all day long with that. Because the original way of us was to receive whatever the light want to give me. But because the tzimtzum took a place, we have to come back into that level when we're capable to say no to everything for the sake of creating something new. This is the story of creation. What I share with you today is the story of creation. Story of creation happens every day. So when you share, ask yourself, are you manipulating somebody? Or are you enabling somebody? Or are you giving somebody bread of shame in your own language? You want to give somebody the gift of discover who they are. That's the gift of life. So when you give somebody, hey, let me tell you how you can be like me if you want to hear. Most of the time, kids, if you tell them that, they wouldn't listen. Listen, never. But you want to find a way that you are like act like the light when you give, and you want to find a way that you act like a receiver when you receive. Meaning what? I'm saying a lot of words, and I hope you're going to listen to it again and again and kind of go to that again and again. Get to a place where you do your overcoming the bread of shame, you do your contraction, you do your restriction, you do your tzimtzum, but get to a place that you understand why you're doing it. Don't do it on automatic. Understand, I'm not saying no to the food or no to the sex or no to the anger or no to the recognition just because. I'm saying no to it because I'm creating something new. I want to receive only what the Creator wants to give me. Now I'll let you ask me some question and then I'll let you go. Please. Any question?
Yes.
I can't tell you, that's a long, that's, I need another 1,000 questions on this subject. But
one of my friends sees a bottle in the store, and then she says, oh my gosh, she's so cute, and I know his birthday coming up, if I buy the bottle for her, she's going to be happy, is it sharing?
Everything is sharing. Again, I cannot go into it because it's a details. It's a lot of details that need to be addressed because sometimes if I answer that yes or no, it's not a yes or no. You need to study it. You have to check it yourself. You have to check it yourself. Where are you coming from? Why you want to do that? Yes?
I'm having a little bit of issue with the manipulation part.
Yeah.
How do I know when I'm manipulating?
When you want something out of it.
Okay, that's
or when you don't want nothing out of it and your ego starts to grow. Exactly. So how do we get to the right place? When I'm sharing, the true sharing is to help somebody to become better. That they share with them. Like for example, I could answer that question, right? But I don't want to answer it. If I answer, I take away from her the free will. She will go home and think about it and struggle with that, go to her note, listen to that, and then there is a growth. You understand? There is a growth process within the human being. The growth process is the necessity of life. We don't want to give the full product. We want to give the struggle to the person. The struggle itself makes the person blossom, make the person fly, make the person the strongest. Some people not ready to be struggled. Like those kids yesterday, they didn't want to go to that. So they went to prison. Some people don't have it in them. So what's with them? Well, not everybody has that engine. I want to receive everything. You got to start want more from life. If you don't want enough of life, you're going to always end up with the wrong people and the wrong situation. You're going to want more. You're going to wake up in the morning, like I say in the beginning of the lecture, what do you want? What is your engine telling you? What do you want to receive today? What do you want? And then go for it. And then say, hey, light, is that what you want to give me today? Because I'm willing to give it all away. But if that's what you want to give it to me, please, you're going to play that game every day. You will see the result. It's unbelievable. Because you give it all away. Tip-tum, and then you say, okay, I'm here to receive it. And then come area in your life from this lifetime, another lifetime, of bread of shame. Area in your life that's not allowing you to receive it right away and make it difficult. And you look at them like, wow, it's really hard. I need to have more certainty. I need to overcome it. And then there is a fruit for that. Where is the fruit? Your insecurity go away and self-confidence come out. The fruit of life is not money. The fruit of life is actually self-confidence. That's the fruit of life. We talked so far about desire and light, fulfillment. We also talk about contraction from a point of what exactly happened. The importance of studying this subject is to understand what exactly happened in creation before the creation of the physical world. As we're getting deep into it, eventually we're going to understand how the body being created, how the soul being created, how everything being created. Now, more important is to focus on the study as we're understanding it, but also focus on the change that you want to achieve this week. Because the study of Talmud and Sefirot, this specific study is also cleaning you for whatever you want to get yourself clean and taking you basically to the next level. So every time you study a section or a part of this study, it's taking you to another level. So think about what area of your life that need to be cleansed, what area of your life you want to get better, and then it will take you. So I will first read in Hebrew Rabbi Isaac Luria's words, and then we're going to get into the commentary of Rav Ashlag that will take us to a deeper level. Remember, we are in chapter 2 already. Those of you who didn't listen from the beginning can always go on the website and listen again to the audio or to the video. After the tzimtzum, after the contraction, remember the tzimtzum mean the time that the light is still the same, but the vessel or the receiver say no to the light. That's basically tzimtzum, it contracts, it's become a smaller desire, so you can have affinity with the light. After that tzimtzum, asher az, then stay, nishar makom achalal, this empty space, ve'avir panui verekani, an empty air and space within the endless light. Again, those are words, don't try to put it into picture. Many people try to put it in picture and then get confused. It's not about picture, it's about understanding. Hine kvar haya makom sheyochlu liyot shama ne'etzalim. Within that space, it was now a place where to put the emanated and the creator and the yitzurim and the creature and the one that been, it's called na'asim, and the one that need to be manifest himself. So again, he used the word ne'etzalim, nivraim, tzurim, na'asim, emanated, created, formated, and manifested. It's those words are code, of course. Ve'az imshich min ha'or ensof, then he draw from that light after the tzitum, after the contraction, he draw from the ensof, he draw from the endless. Kav echad yashar, one single line, min ha'or ha'agol shelo, from the circular light. Milamala lemata, from above to below, umishtalshel, and it's been drawing to different level. Ve'yoret toch achalal ha'u, and that linear light coming from the circular light into the empty space that was created because of the contraction. Of course, those words need explanation because we don't want to fall into a picture. Otherwise, it sounds kind of cool. Circular light, linear light, and it's nice, but it's all about the picture. So let's first understand what Rav Ashlag, and again, without Rav Ashlag, it would be almost, impossible to understand. The reason it's impossible to understand those things because those things are just metaphor for what's really going on in the spiritual world. Al titei, do not mistake, Serav Ashlag lachshov, to think, shemepeat tzimtzum ha'or, that because of the contraction of the light, manekuda emtzait, from the middle point, haya eze shinui ba'ensof chas v'shalom. It may seem to you that because there is some differences now that we experience from the light, there is some change in the endless. Now there is a big limud, there is a big lesson for us as well. We are talking about, again, before creation of Adam, before the creation of Adam and Eve, before the creation of Genesis, before the creation of everything. So we also can relate to it to our life. Do not, we go into some sometimes pain, physical pain, or spiritual pain, or mental pain, or emotional pain, or business pain, or what else, relationship pain, or health pain. And we sometimes think that at that moment, the light itself is something changed in the light. Because how come I experienced that? And it's the same. So it's impossible to believe that there is actually some change in it. Because there is no change in the light. There's no change in the light while you're going through a change. So if you experience some pain, if you experience something that it's not comfortable for you in your daily life, you need to believe one thing, that the light itself, the divine itself, is not going under change. What makes the light, what makes the divine divine, what makes God as God, that there is no change there. The change is happening around me, but we need to connect spiritually to a place with no change. I know it's difficult, because the truth of the matter is, as holy as it becomes, as less change as it has. You know, change happens in a place where have lack, a place that have issues. Place with no issue, there's no change. A change only takes place in a place where there is lack. A person moves from one place to another because basically there is a change. Why do you move from A to B? Why you move from one city to another? Why are you doing different things that you are doing? Because you cannot find fulfillment one place or another. But the light itself never changed. The light itself, there is no change. In the blessing, there is no change. The change only takes place where we experiencing it. So sometimes you have a bad day, right? We all have a bad day. Sometimes you have a good day. Truly, nothing really happened. Nothing really, it's very difficult for the consciousness. Nothing really happening, right? Some of you called me this week with a lot of event that took place in your life. You know, some people have great event this week. Some people have a terrible event this week. How can that be? How can that be? Is God was in a bad mood on Monday and he's in a good mood? He win the roulette on Thursday, so he's in a good mood? I mean, what happened? There is really no change. And that's the core of the study of spirituality. There is no change. If a person can get to the non-change things, then the person becomes spiritual. There is a verse for it. It's called Shiviti Hashem Lenigdi Tamid. Or two translations. Shiviti means I put the name of God in front of my eyes all the time. Or Shiviti comes the word Shaveh. Shaveh means equal. Everything is equal in the eyes of God, which means there is no difference between bad and good. We experience bad as bad, and we experience good as good. Because if you're lacking something and you have it, that's called good. People use the word, for example, I love fish. Love is a good word, right? Everybody agreed that love is a good thing. You ask people, is love good? Good! I love fish, that's why I kill him and eat him, right? It doesn't go together. Why you kill the fish if you love him? Because I love him. So the word love is associated for us not with kindness and giving. The word love is associated with what I don't have and how can I get it. So people don't love money, people want the money. People don't love the love, people want the attention that they don't have. You understand? So what happened, we are related to change. We have the bad habit of change. We have the bad habit, it's bad, I want good. It's good. You can see it on gambler a lot of time. Most people think that gambler only go to win. Not true. Gambler cannot win. Somebody who have the disease of being a gambler, they need to lose too. They can die if they only win, by the way. I don't know if you know that. And gambler only win, he's dying. If he have the disease, they cannot take it anymore. They need to lose. That's what they love. When they lose, they go minus and then they go high. They need the high of winning. How do you get to the high of winning? If a person, another drugs, a person needs to high and low. You go high, and then you need to low. He cannot stay high all the time because then he wouldn't feed the high. Everybody understand that? So the high and the low of life, the high and the low of life is actually what is the illusion of life. You understand? The high and low of life is the illusion. This is actually the illusion. From the creator point of view, that's what most people don't fully understand the creator. There is never change. There's no such a thing as change. There's no difference between righteous and wicked as we think it. This person is righteous, God love him. This person is wicked, God hate him. What is that? Who came up with this idea? Rabbi and priest want more crowd to come to their place? I mean, what is that? Oh, now you're righteous, oh, God love you. Oh, you're wicked, oh, God hate you. Really? So that means God has a differences. There's no such a thing. There's no such a thing. So the first thing when we study spirituality, we started chapter, we are in Perek Bet, in chapter second, is to get first to that full understanding that the light never changed. If you get it, you're already spiritual. If you think the light changed, you lost it. Doesn't matter how many times you pray. Doesn't matter how much charity you give. Doesn't matter how much volunteer job you do. Light never changed. Nothing ever changed. It never moved.